And good morning, everybody. Good morning. Justin, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good morning. Brielle,
good morning.
Are you there? All right. Brielle, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Harris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everybody.
Okay, let me first of all start out by saying my internet was disconnected because of non-payment of bill. You guys ready for this? 40 cents. 40 cents. They cut me off for 40 cents. Okay, so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So needless to say, they found the error of their ways and reconnected me. And so I was here trying to get online and couldn't, but now that we are here and I'm here, right, good morning again, everybody. And, you know, just the mishap that life, you know, I always call it Murphy's Law, right? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And so, you know, you take it with a smile, but you keep on going. Right. So, guys, bear with me for a second as I play our intro song, Wake Up, Everybody, Wake Up. Right. And I'll be right back and we'll begin our show. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. I want to thank each and every one of you, and I'm talking to our hosts and our panelists, Mr. Harris, for your diligence and patience. I literally got off the phone a moment ago with my service provider and without haste, got to the podcast to be here. And so I'm after saying that, Justin, have you prepared two definitions as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're going to let Justin start out first, but before you do, I want to say music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you in the Quest listenership audience to pull back your musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I want to thank each and every one of our listeners for joining us once again to hear a different perspective of our community. And now, without any further ado, I'd like to bring in our first student host, the real deal, Justin Hill. Justin, good morning again. Take it away. Lay it on us with your first segment.
Thank you, Mr. Bay, and good morning, everybody. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeper and you are bound to find yourself. My first diamond segment is on Barbara Smith Conrad. Barbara Smith Conrad was an American opera singer. She was also an educator, co-directing the Wagner Theater Program, which she co-founded, and maintaining a private studio, as well as taking up multiple artist residencies. Conrad received national attention when in 1957, her work as a student performer became central in racial controversy. Cast in the role opposite a white performer, the African American Conrad was removed from the role at the University of Texas at Austin as a result of pressure on school administration from the Texas legislature. That is it for my segment of diamonds. Before I go off, the reason why I chose Barbara Conrad because she goes along with my definition segment, which is on the word singer. And I also chose her because she played an important role in during her career because she was an opera singer and she was facing racial discrimination, and that's why I chose Barbara Smith Conrad. And that is it, and I thank God for listening.
I want to, first of all, Justin, I want to thank you for bringing Barbara Conrad to the service, right? And I want to go straight to our music guy, who's definitely Mr. Harris. And Mr. Harris, have you ever heard of Barbara Conrad?
I actually have not heard of her, you know, specifically. I've heard of people falling into discriminatory situations because of their color and because of the stuff. So I'm not surprised that there were a lot of people that got caught up in all that, you know. And it was good, you know, because when I heard he was going to be doing her, I kind of looked it up myself. And she put in a lot of work. She was very good at what she did. And the only reason why it was a controversy is because it was a black and white person playing the parts of somebody who was supposed to be together for some reason. And the people at the time just wasn't having it, especially in the South. You know, so that was a good pick. I've never heard of her before, but I know now.
Okay. You know, thank you, Mr. Harris, for your input, right? I hadn't heard of her either. But, Justin, I have a very important question for you. each week as you guys, you and Brielle, research and find out about different people, the story, the never-ending theme story here, the underlying theme, Justin, is racial discrimination and overcoming the racial discrimination, overcoming the adversity, right? So, Justin, I have to ask you, if you're ever faced with any type of discriminatory prejudice, right, how would you deal with it? Do you think you're prepared?
I don't think I'm going to be prepared because it never happened to me before. But how I would deal with it, I don't really know because, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Justin, do you think that is an important question for me to ask of you?
Yes.
Mr. Harris, how do we help him? How does Justin or Brielle, right? And before I come to you, Mr. Harris, Brielle, I know you're on the line, and I have to ask you the same question, right? From week to week, we talk about prejudice and racism, but do you think, Brielle, that you would be able to deal with racial discrimination? How would you overcome it?
I would overcome it by not listening to what the people say, like bad things that they're saying. And I would focus on what I'm trying to do. So I don't, so I'm not worried about what they're saying. I'm just focused on what I'm doing. So that's what I think.
Well, Mr. Harris, what do you think about Brielle's thought? And that's why I went to her first, because something said, out of the mouths of babes come gems. What do you think about Brielle's answer?
Brielle, it was a good answer. And that's one of the things that, because we do this type of thing all the time, you know, we have examples of people that have put up with certain stuff and got set up to the point where they were just like, I'm going to do what I want to do. You could be mad all you want. And through these examples that we've portrayed during the podcast and on Saturday, you know, these are the type of mindsets that we need to have, regardless of how other people feel about you. You know, you need to continue to do what you feel you want to do, as long as it's on the positive tip. You know, but you need to continue to do what you want to do, and it's going to be a little harder than normal for the dominant society. You know, they're not going to accept a lot of people stepping on their toes, making them think that maybe there's somebody else that's just as smart, just as talented, just as, you know, whatever, as we are, and if not better. And that's what we have to do. We have to just stand up for our own rights and be able to continue where our mind is taking us. And that's very important.
So, Justin, I say to you, each week, right, when you are researching and giving information about different people, you have to pay attention, most importantly, to the courage to stand up in the face of discrimination and say, like Brielle said, I'm focused on what I'm doing and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not going to let anybody stand in the way. You cannot be easily discouraged by nonsense, okay? No one can stop you. Do you hear that, Justin?
Yes.
So let me hear you say it. When confronted with prejudice or racism, how would you deal with it now?
I'm going to I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, not listen to them.
And have courage. Please use that word. Remember that. Because it's very important. And believe it or not, life is rough enough with, you know, just people in general, from some, not all people, sometimes, right? And it doesn't matter what color. People will, you know, just not like you for who knows what reason. And it's not for you to worry about. It is for you to focus, buckle down, and do what you have to do to become all that you can be in life. Brielle, please present to us your first diamond segment.
Okay, Mr. Bay. And now, like you said, I will be starting with my first segment for today on Toussaint Louverture. Toussaint Louverture was born in 1793 near Brede-Cap-Francois, Saint-Dominique, Haiti. Years later, he emancipated that slave and for the French colony. He was the son of an educated slave, winning the favor of the plantation manager, and he was a healer, livestock handler, and coachman. But when he was free, he was married and had two sons. He was a fervent Roman Catholic and disagreed to voodoo. In August 1791, a sudden slave revolt began in Northern Province, soon to spread thousands of slaves across the country. Toussaint was the first uncommitted. After a week, he helped his former master escape, then joined black forces who burnt plantations and killed many Europeans. He started collecting an army of his own. He started training them in the guerrilla warfare. When France and Spain war began, Toussaint started demonstrating military ability. Later, after black people adored him very much, but he was appreciated the most by Europeans. Defining French revolutionary, the allied planter to return. The laborers were equal and free and wasn't whipped anymore. Later in 1799, Britain began a trade with the U.S. Toussaint traded sugar and promised to never invade Jamaica or the American South. British offered to rephrase him as King of Independent Haiti because they remained slavery, so he refused. Then a campaign in 1799 eliminated another potential to Toussaint by driving and destroying his mulattoes. France tricked Toussaint and told him it was a meeting, but they really arrested him, and he was imprisoned and interrogated. And unfortunately, he died April 7th, 1803, and that is it for my segment on Toussaint Louverture.
Okay. I have to beg your forgiveness, Brielle, but I'm going to expose something to the audience that they may or may not know, but we know, and that is, this is not your first time doing Toussaint Louverture, is it?
No.
So the question that I have for you is, because this is not your first time, what makes this particular person, Toussaint Louverture, right, what makes him significant, and why did you choose to do him again? What makes him an indelible mark in your mind, so that, you know, what motivated you to do him twice? Talk to the audience. Talk to me. Why are you doing him again? What is the significance of him to you?
So the significance and why I chose him is because he freed thousands of slaves, and he joined black forces who burned plantations and killed many Europeans, which was really bad. So he started his own war to help help his former master escape, and he helped the Europeans and laborers. So he helped many people, so that's why I chose him, because I thought that was very important.
Okay, so do you realize that during this particular time period in history, in Haiti, that Haiti was occupied by France? So just imagine me coming to your house and saying that your house is now mine. What would you do?
Yeah. Well, I would be pretty upset, but also confused, because I wouldn't know what was going on, but I would speak up about it, because it is my house and you can't just take it away from me.
Would you put me out?
Yes.
Would you put me out by any means necessary?
Well, I would have to talk about with the person first to understand completely, and then I would do something about it.
Do you understand these questions, how they relate to Toussaint Overture?
Not really.
Okay, so France came into Haiti, all right, and Toussaint decided that they had to go. You know, just imagine Toussaint, this is his house, and France came into his house and were making the people work on plantations in slavery, and he freed the people. And unfortunately, blood had to be shed in order for France to take them serious. Do you have a better understanding now? Now, no one ever wants to advocate any type of war, okay? And that word that you mispronounce is warfare, right? And nobody wants to advocate war. But in the case of an adversary, that when you ask them to leave, they won't leave. And you have to understand, at this particular time, they were working, they had the people of Haiti in slavery, working on plantations, and this boiled down to money. So France did not want to give up the dollar. They didn't want to give up their money-making machine, making slaves work for nothing and they get paid all the money. You understand?
Yes.
Mr. Harris, would you, and I have you on mute, let me get you in here, right? Do you have a comment? Is there anything that you can help me to add for Brielle?
Yeah, well, a lot of what you were saying is most definitely true, but, you know, the main thing about France at that time is that they were trying to do the same thing England was doing as far as trying to colonize the whole world, you know, and when France went down there, they found out that they couldn't fight everybody and still hold on to their colonies in the so-called New World. You know, but even today, Haiti is paying France, like, reparations for the loss of land and slaves that they had on the, you know, on their half of the island where Haiti is. Ever since 1803, they have been paying France $150 million a year. And, you know, and this is the type of stuff that, you know, because Haiti was the first free black country after colonialism, you know, they definitely are making them pay, and the rest of the world's making them pay, too. And, you know, and the United States kind of took advantage of that, because a couple years later, after France had lost Haiti, they were in need of money. So they sold the Louisiana Purchase to Thomas Jefferson. And that's how the United States doubled in size, all based on the Haitian Revolution. That's a little just side note. But this is the kind of stuff that's been going on and continues today.
Wow. That you know, Brielle, that's a lot to digest and take in. But please, to the best of your ability, take it in and let it marinate. Let it marinate inside your mind so that you understand and connect the dots that even today, Haiti is suffering, right, because of the ill of France from 100 years ago or more, okay? We're going to continue. And right now, I'm going to musically hit you with a song, and this song is titled Testify. And when we come back, we're going to come back to the real deal, Justin Hill, why he gives us a definition. So get ready. We'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked.
Please let me testify. You accuse me of a lie. You accuse me of a lie. You accuse me of a lie. Please let me testify. You accuse me of a lie. You accuse me of a lie. Please let me testify.
She walked in the court, her knees buckled, staying for a man to survive. Hustle, seen and been through struggle a whole life, made the transition from being his to his wife. Stifling, the night had been an ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. In a chest, a face with tears, had a man's back, he was facing years, in her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids, but yeah, she been through scuffling fights, while he trying to hustle that white, up all night, wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter, his lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him, using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession as they read back her confession.
Well, basically, we got a tip that Mr. Washington might be involved in these two deaths. From that tip, we found a gun in his home. We found 4 kilos of cocaine in his house. That gave us motive. The intent for us, it was a rap. That's about as strong a case as we can get.
She screamed.
The court awaited as the foreman got the verdict from the bailiff. Emotional outburst, tears and smear makeup. It stated he was guilty on all charges. She shaking, looking like she took it the hardest. A spin artist, she brought her face up laughing. That's when the prosecutor realized what happened. All that speaking of mind, testifying and crying. When this did the crime, the queen pen.
Your husband without an anonymous tip.
We the lions out here, baby. You know, this is the jungle.
All I know is that my husband is a good man.
One thing you could do is you could trust me.
Good man, good husband, good father. A lot of coke, a lot of dead folks in you.
You know, that song is from a soundtrack from a particular movie, which I can't name. Mr. Harris, can you help me there? No?
No. But that scenario goes around a lot in real life.
Right. And I'm afraid that it might be over Brielle and Justin's head, that particular, yeah, story. But it's basically a story of someone who goes down the wrong road, thinking that, you know, illegal way of selling drugs is a way to make it in this world without, you know, finding or tapping into your God-given talent, which each and every one of us possess, and finding that it ends in a dead-end road with people that are closest to you basically testifying against you. And that being said, enough on that. The real deal, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Hill, nice and loud. Let's hear you. Oh, Justin, I have to apologize. I accidentally muted you. Justin, the real deal, Justin Hill. Good morning again. My apologies. Take it away.
Good morning, everybody. And it's now time for my next segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us, must define existence, and I have defined for us. And my definition segment is in the word singer, a person who sings, especially professionally. And the etymology of it is Middle English singen from and Old English singen, the chant, sing, especially in joy or merriment. The reason why I chose singer in my definition segment is because Barbara Smith Conrad, she was a really good singer, and that is it for my segment. And we will be back with Brielle's next segment of definitions. And I thank you guys for listening.
Okay. Instead of going away because time, we're going to go straight to Brielle. Brielle, take it away with your next segment.
Thank you, Mr. Bank. And like you said, I am here with my next segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning, so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And I will be defining the word revolution. The action by a celestial body of going round in an orbit or elliptical course. And for an example, he led a revolution, and the origin of revolution is the Latin revolere, to revolve, roll, or back. And where I got this information from was Thesaurus. And I thank you guys for listening.
Okay, so it sounds like you did this definition, and it sounds like you did the same thing that you did the first time. Okay, so what is your definition of revolution? What does revolution mean to you?
What revolution means to me was like maybe starting a revolution that freed slaves. Yeah. I don't know.
No, keep on going. What does revolution mean to you?
I guess, I think.
Is revolution important?
Oh. Yes. And I think
Why?
It's when people, because, people can gather up to fight for something that's important, like their country or something that's not right.
And there you have it. And that is the answer That is your definition. When you read the introduction for definitions, it says in there, we will not allow anyone to define for us what we can define for ourselves. So when you look in the book to find a definition, you have to add your two cents to what it means to you as you deliver that particular answer to your audience. You understand?
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're just reading and regurgitating information that somebody else wrote. Got it?
Yes.
Right. Now, and let me add the importance of your voice. You matter. You are the future. And what you think also matters. Do you understand?
Yes.
Let me hear you say, I matter.
I matter.
Yeah. You know, you can say what you want to about me, but maybe let me get, and, you know, that's why it's so important for me to have Mr. Harris here. Mr. Harris, have I gone off kilter with my statements to Brielle?
No, actually, you know, whatever information, new information that you add to your mind, you're supposed to try to connect it with other information that you have, and it'll synthesize into into a new, whole new thought. Excuse me. Yeah, and that's kind of what you were trying to explain. I thought you were trying to explain that whenever you get new information, you have to always look at it from your point of view, or else you'll be saying somebody else's thought.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. Hopefully you can get you some water there, Mr. Harris. While he's doing that, instead of going to another song, what we're going to do is go to another segment, which is produced by the real deal, Justin Hill. Now, Justin, start out with your definition first and then go straight in to your diamond, telling both significant the significance of your definition as it relates to your diamond. Hopefully I didn't confuse you, so do your definition first and then do your diamond and just tell why it all connects and why it's all important. Take it away.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. And again, I'm Mr. Jeff Hill, WSOU. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into a diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. My diamond segment is on Daisy Bates. Daisy Bates was an American civil rights activist, publisher, journalist, and lecturer who played a leading role in the Little Rock integration crisis of 1957. Daisy Bates immediately joined the local branch of the NAACP upon moving to Little Rock. In an interview, she explained her history with the organization and that all her dreams were tied with this organization. Her father was a member of the NAACP many years before, and she recounts asking him why he joined the organization. She said her father would bring her back literature to read, and after learning of their goals, she decided to dedicate herself to. Bates became the president of the Arkansas Conference of Bishops in 1952 at the age of 38. She remained active and was on the National Board of the NAACP until 1970. Due to her position in NAACP, Bates' personal life was threatened much of the time. In her autobiography, Bates discussed her life as the president of the NAACP in Arkansas. And I made a mistake, but now I'm going to go into my definition segment. My definition segment is on the word opinionated. Conceitedly assertive and dogmatic in one's opinion. The etymology of it is founded only on personal opinion from Old French and Medieval Latin. And that is it for my segment of today. Make sure you don't go anywhere because we will be back with more segments.
Okay, right. And we're going to break away, but we're going to come right back to Justin. Justin, I want you to tell us, the audience, what motivated you to choose the word opinionated and Daisy Bates. But right now we're going to listen to a quick song, and then when we come back, Justin is going to give us that answer, and then we're going to transition to Brielle for her last two segments. I'm glad I had an opportunity to play a little bit of that song, Strength, Courage, and Wisdom. Those words should be the ones that permeate within each and every one of our minds as we pursue life on our ever daily quest and journey of life. And with that being said, I want to go to Justin and ask you, what motivated you to choose Daisy Bates and use the word opinionated as your definition?
Well, the reason why I chose Daisy Bates was because, well, I'm going to start with my definition segment. I chose opinionated because opinionated basically means having your own opinion. And it connects with Brother Smith Conrad and Daisy Bates because they both have their own opinion in society. And I chose Daisy Bates because, for one, she was a civil rights activist, and she was in the NAACP. And that means how that she wanted she wanted what my past segments wanted, and that's why I chose those two for my segments.
Okay, thank you so much, Brielle and Justin. If I had it my way, I'd turn you guys into soldiers. Right? And saying, marching around saying, I matter and my voice matters too. Right? Okay, so anyway, Brielle, take it away and knock out the last two segments.
All right. Like you said, Mr. Bay, I will be doing my next segment for today on Daniel Hamer. Daniel Hamer was born October 6th, Montgomery County, Mississippi. The 20th and last child of sharecroppers Ella Lou and John Townsend. She grew up in poverty, and at the age of 6, she joined her family in cotton picking. By the age of 12, she left school and started working. In 1944, she married Parker Hamer. They then owned Mississippi's plantation by B.D. Marlowe until 1961. Hamer received a hysterectomy by a white doctor without her consent. She was unable to have them, so the Hamers adopted two children. That summer, she attended meetings led by civil rights activists, including James Forman of the SNCC and James Bevel of the SPLC. She became an SNCC organizer, and on August 31st, she led 17 volunteers to register to vote at Indianola, Mississippi Courthouse. The group was harassed on their way home when the police stopped them and fined them for $100 because of the bus being yellow. That same night, Barlow fired Mrs. Hamer, deeded most of their property. So the Hamers moved to Ruville, Mississippi and Sunflower County. Mrs. Baker and many other women were arrested for sitting in the whites-only area at the bus station, and at jail, they were brutally beat, leaving them with long-lasting injuries. She had eye, kidney, and leg damage. In 1964, Hamer helped organize the Freedom Summer, bringing hundreds of college students, both black and white, to help with African-American voter registrations in the segregated South. She traveled a lot, giving powerful speeches on behalf of civil rights. In 1969, she launched FFC, also known as Freedom Farmer Cooperative, also buying land so black people could own and farm. The FFC lasted until the mid-70s. Traveling and fundraising took away from Mrs. Hamer day to day. Later, she sadly died from breast cancer in 1977. And that is it for my segment on Fannie Lou Hamer.
And now for your definition.
And for my definition, I will be defining the word motivated. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And the word that I will be defining is motivated. Provide someone with a motive for doing something. And for an example, she was motivated to make a change and for there to be more equality. And the origin of this word is derived from the Latin term motivus, a moving cause. And where I got this information from was Thesaurus, and I thank you guys for listening.
All right. Okay, so rather than go to another song, we have about 5 minutes left to our show. And so, you know, the question rises in my mind as to whether or not, and Brielle and Justin, I'm talking mainly to you two guys. The question here is, what did you learn from the people that you shared and the information? What did you learn from the people and the information that you shared with us today? Now, before you answer that question, I'm going to have Mr. Harris chime in. And before Mr. Harris chimes in, I'm going to go first. Starting out with the word revolution, it has taken a revolutionary mindset for us to stand on the shoulders of people who came before us, for us to move along in history as a people and to evolve. Today, we ask for reparations, and the echo is getting louder. And when you say, well, reparations, well, let's talk about compensatory. You know, I'm a graduate of a compensatory educational program. And what that means is they set up programs to compensate for what we weren't getting in the public schools. And it was called the Upward Bound Program. And I'm proud to say that I'm a graduate of Seton Hall Upward Bound. But you know what? That program would have never existed had it not been for activism and the strength and the courage of people going back, looking at the blueprint of Black history that led us to where we are and where we need to go in the future. Now, I said a whole lot there. So, you know, Mr. Harris, correct me if I'm wrong, but I want you to chime in and add your own two cents.
Well, actually, you know, the word revolution to me is really a lot deeper than just being upset. You know, you have to be upset to the point where you'd be willing to kill or be killed just to get your point across. And there has never been a bloodless revolution in the history of this planet. Every revolution has had bloodshed because no one's going to give up power willingly. And we have to either demand it or take it. And this is where the semantics, where the words and stuff kind of hide the real meaning through a lot of things that we have to do. So, you know, and like you were talking about reparations. Reparations is not something that they're just going to willingly say, okay, we'll just give you something to compensate for the 250 years of slavery, the 150 years of Jim Crow. You know, we're just going to give you a monetary number. But then who's going to pick what that is? So that's why we're not going to get that, looking at it that way. And another fact is that we don't look at ourselves as one unit, one nation. They only give reparations to nations. They don't give reparations to individuals. So as long as we're talking about reparations for this particular group or that particular group, if you're not coming at them from a nation standpoint, you know, reparations is just going to be something we're going to always fight for and we'll never receive. And, you know, but it's important that we keep those kind of thoughts in folks' heads, and maybe we'll go back to the beginning and find out that we need to come up with strategies where we can be all on one accord. And right now, everybody has their own agenda, and this is kind of part of the reason why we're not doing the things that we need to do. But those things need to be changed, and nobody can change them but us.
Okay. Brielle, what did you learn today?
What I learned from these people, all of them overcame challenges, and they had courage while they went through these things to get to where they had to. Like Fannie Lou Hamer, she was in jail, but when she was free, she was able to join many
things and became an activist, and she bought land for Black people to own and to farm. That was really good. So they had courage.
Right. And when I say your voice, what do you say?
I matter?
Yes. Justin, close us out and give us a quick snick bit of what you learned today, and then close us out.
Well, I learned today was how Daisy Bates' father, he was also in the NAACP. And I also learned that Barbara Conrad, she didn't get the role because of racial discrimination. And it is now time for me to close out the show. I want to thank everyone for joining us on 89.5 FM. Make sure to check out our next show next Saturday from 7 to 8 AM on 89.5 FM. Press Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
The best youth radio.